Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Marcy Ann Cheek, and I want to welcome you to my show. Say what? Where? When? And the question I've asked my whole life, why? And I have a special guest here with me tonight, and this has been a person who has helped me to answer some of those why questions in my life. And but first, before I bring him on, by way of introduction, I wanted to read something to you that was written more than 150 years ago, because there's quite a movement today, more on the internet than any place else, the internet and YouTube, and it's called the Ascension Movement. And I feel that we're in a new fullness of energy for this truth, but it's not new, and it's something I've been pursuing for 71 years, and it's something that my guest, David Hulse, has been pursuing for a good 50 years. And then even before us, there has always been the truth on the earth. And even before us, there was a lady by the name of Alice Bailey. She was a metaphysician at the turn of the last century. And she understood how sound and light and vibration and form all kind of work together. She called it the blending of the hierarchies, the myriads of energies and frequencies. They're constantly intermingling with each other. She said that sound permeates all forms. Every planet has its own note. Every atom has its own sound. Each human being has his particular chord. And all these chords and all these sounds work together in a great symphony, which the hierarchy and humanity are playing together. So Miss Bailey said, through the medium of sound, God spoke and worlds were made. And it's been said that the chief agency by which nature's wheel is moved in a phenomenal direction is sound. For the original sound sets in vibration, the matter of which all forms are made, and initiates that activity which characterizes even the very atoms of all substance. First the sound, then the pouring forth of light, and then the form. So Miss Bailey continued, the response of the human mechanism to the world of sound will cause developments that will usher in a new age. And it'll be an age in which the work of the world will be carried forward through the medium of sound. And eventually, even through the words, the use of words of power and the efforts of trained sound workers. She said that these trained workers that understand the nature of matter and comprehend the purpose of sound will bring about those structural changes and those material transformations which will establish a civilization of a new race. That sounds pretty exciting to me, and I believe that I'm going to live to see this begin to really be true here in a much greater measure of the truth than we have ever seen before. So David, my guest tonight, David Hulse, is a forerunner in the use of sound And he teaches, he has it actually teaches people how to be these light workers that are going to help to enter in this new age. So I'm going to bring David on now. David, are you there? Hello?
I'm muted, Tim.
Hello? Can you hear me, David? Hello?
Hello?
Hello, David?
Yes, I'm here.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good. Welcome.
Well, how are you? It's good to be with you.
I'm doing well. We're running coast to coast tonight.
Great.
You're
exciting.
On the East Coast in North Carolina, and I'm out here in California on the West Coast.
Yeah.
And I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. It's really late for you, and I appreciate it.
Well, you're certainly welcome. It's good to be with you, always.
Well, David and I met, I can't remember how long ago, but God has been a preacher of the... What was it?
I'm saying 84. 1984 we met.
And David has been preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ since you were 15 years old, 16?
16, correct.
Mm-hmm. You were called by God at 16.
I believe so.
Mm-hmm. And you had the experience that I've talked about also having when I was 8 years old, of an encounter with God, with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Would you want to tell a little bit about that?
Yes, when I was 16, I had a tremendous life-altering experience that I have studied ever since, and that was 50-some years ago almost today, 54 years, and I have continuously to understand this great mystical experience of what happened to me in January of 1962 in Tulsa, Oklahoma. In the church that I was in, they named this the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but I wanted to know what the experience was, not the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, but what the experience really was. So, what happened to me in a nutshell is I felt a penetration of something higher than my everyday mundane consciousness. Something penetrated into that part of my mind and released a charge of energy and light that literally changed my entire life. And I have always wondered what happened to me. I could not hold this charge in my third energy anatomy body. I found myself just laying on the floor. No one was with me or touched me. Whatever. I just was laying on the floor.
We used to call that playing in the spirit, but now we're going to learn to hold these vibrational energies.
That's it.
In the human body.
The norm, correct.
Yes.
But I do believe it's... the way I explain it is like my body was 110 and 220 came in and it wouldn't hold it.
Mm-hmm.
So my body gave away to that. And when I got up from that experience sometime later, actually it was a few hours later, I got up with this new voice. It was like somebody turned up the frequency of my voice. And... because I went down a very introverted, shy young man searching for my identity and got up with this new, frequency coming out of my voice that began to have an effect. And that's what I did for many, many years, is to share that voice with people all over the country until 2000. And that's when I, of course, was moved to a place that I call a fork in the road, which is the name of my book. And that fork in the road literally was a fork in the road, and I learned about vibration and energy. And for the last 13 years, that's the way I have moved in that direction.
Mm-hmm. Now, this experience you had as at 16 was accompanied with the speaking in tongues, wasn't it?
It was.
The evidence of the Holy Spirit being penetrating your very physical being.
Well, I know the Pentecostal Church says it's the evidence, but really that is not correct. The evidence is the fruits of the Spirit, which is love, gentleness, peace, whatever. But I did speak in tongues, and the evidence of speaking in tongues to me was tapping into that part of my unchartered self as sound that had never been bundled or patterned into terrestrial language, meaning
mm-hmm.
English or whatever languages we speak on the planet. And so we're sort of speaking these virgin sounds, I call them virgin sounds, because they'd never been used or manipulated or controlled by society or culture, including religion and whatever. It's kind of our sacred light sound.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think today we're starting to understand what those sounds were, even though at that time we were like speaking in a mystery. We're now finishing up the mystery because of all this information that is coming to us from this higher fifth dimension.
Right.
So that's what we're trying to do with the tuning forks, is how to open the portals between us at a third space, fourth time continuum with fifth dimension. And I do believe the Holy Spirit, as we called it, is a fifth-dimensional energy vibration.
Mm-hmm.
And when that pierces into the third energy, that is how some of us individually tasted of an age that is yet to come.
But don't you believe now it has come?
It has come. Oh, absolutely. We are.
Yes.
We're in it, but we're still dealing with the imprints of the old age.
Exactly.
In the new age.
Mm-hmm.
It's an overlapping.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's where the tuning forks can go in and search out. Well, we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves here. I wanted you to share when you came to that point in your ministry where you thought, where you really had came to the place where you questioned every single thing that you'd ever believed in your whole life.
Right.
Well, even those things that you had preached.
Right. That came around 87. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, the question was always there. But in 87, I'd heard of something called a kind of a universal convergence that was taking place. And I didn't even know what that meant. I knew that it was like consciousness was connecting all over the planet. And the first one of these harmonic convergences happened in 87. And something inside of me said, I want you to be a part of that. So our time in Central Time was 5:10 or something in the morning. So I got up and went to the little park. It was in August. And I just sat there, and I just let my consciousness kind of just connect. And that was an altering experience for me, too, because when I came out of that, Marcy, it was like I was standing on the edge of a void, an abyss of nothingness. And, of course, my Western left brain said, okay, that's the end of this. You know, it's over for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't know what I believed anymore. I didn't believe, I don't know if I believed in, even in a God, if I believed in anything.
Well, we had been taught all those things, you know, that Jesus was coming again and that there was a devil and heaven and hell and all of those things.
Correct. But I don't know that I ever fell totally into all of that, even in my early years. I always questioned somewhat the old doctrines, but I didn't have anything to replace it with.
Right.
You know, I didn't have the
just
the
didn't
new,
feel
the
right
revelation.
We didn't have anything else at that time.
Exactly. So that's when we entered into the time I met you. We were entering into the time of what we call revelation. So we were getting a revelation about what hell was and heaven and sin and all that kind of thing. So we replaced it with a revelation. But I think now we've moved from the revelation to the time of the experience.
Yeah, I think you said at that time that God said it was Christ in you, the hope of glory. You said Christ as you.
is
God
the glory.
God told you to start saying Christ as you is the hope.
Right, right, absolutely. So it's been quite a journey. I mean, I feel like I've, in fact, I went through a period of doing a lot of regression work and whatever, trying to find some answers out. And what I did find out was that I had made a script in this lifetime to live out four lifetimes.
Yeah, I want you to talk about that. That was one of your open visions.
Yes.
Where you went up before the Board of Entities.
Exactly. And really, I thought my answer was in a past life, and I was getting all this great information. It was probably a lot of it correct, but it didn't answer the question. And I didn't get the answer until I experienced an in-between lifetime. And that is so important for your listeners and everyone to realize your between lifetime is just as important as your past lives. Even if you don't believe in past lives, your pre-existence before your incarnation is one of the most important parts of understanding your soul purpose and assignment for being on the planet. Mm-hmm. So it was in that in-between experience that I stood before this kind of board of reviewers and preparing me. This is why it takes 10, 7, 8, for me it was 10 months before I was born. Most people it's 9, but we have to have that gestation period to hold the frequency of the body we're going to incarnate in. So mm-hmm. I went through all those stages of what that meant to go through that. But the thing they said to me, and of course it was no words, it was all telepathic completely. And the thing, Marcy, I want to say that was so fascinating about this cellular memory was that I didn't feel any entity was over me making me do anything. I felt like I was everything in this vision. I was a part of that board. I was a part of anything. So it was me co-creating my script. Mm-hmm. And why I say that is because I'm not a victim even of a god. I am a co-creator of my own destiny.
Amen.
We all talk about being victims to other things, but I felt like at one time I was a victim of God because God called me at 16 and I didn't, you know, get to go to prom and I didn't get to do this, so I was angry at God, that
mm-hmm.
God. But you've got to understand the God I really lost in 87 wasn't God, but my belief in God as I've been taught from the outside world. That's what died.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, I went through this whole...
The Board of Entities showed how you had...
They said to me that because we're a free will planet, not enough people by free will has come to the level of consciousness to hold the new norm that was coming in from the new dimension.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, it would take enough of us to volunteer to live out what it would take in lifetimes to get there in this lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that answered my question was, why did I have to start so early at 16 years old, and why couldn't I have had somewhat of a, pardon the word, normal
life?
normal life, in quotes. And
what's normal?
What's normal? So I got the answer that I said I would do this. And when it came time to actually incarnate, I became fearful of the contract I had made, and that was the fear and the anger that I was dealing with that was kind of inherent in the fabric of my soul, body, human existence. And when I understood that, that truth set me free from that, and I began to rest in my life that I'm not being, as I said, victimized, but I'm actually living out what I myself helped to co-create and write
mm-hmm.
for my own life.
You chose.
I chose.
Mm-hmm.
So here we are. Now what we're looking for is, where are all the light workers? We have
well,
to send out the
clarion call. Well, they
are
beginning to show up. They're showing up in very unusual places.
Yes.
The Internet and YouTube is full of them now.
Absolutely. And
yeah.
That call has come out, and enough are here. And as we begin to join ourselves into a consciousness, and not just a consciousness, but a consciousness that is moving energy, and sound moves energy. So when we make that sound and sing that song that the scripture said no man could learn, we're going to begin to cause a new resonance to take place within the hearts of all people on this planet. It's going to be like a planetary Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a time in which people's veils will be taken off of their mind and they will see past all illusion of separation and connect to that inner knowing that we're all one. We're all connected at the same core of our essence and our being. And that's my vision. I just when I see what's going on today and I happen to catch the news and how horrible it all sounds, I always hear the Holy Spirit whisper in my voice, remember, do not buy into the illusion of what you think you see, because
mm-hmm.
that's not the truth.
That's not the truth, no.
Mm-hmm.
And you had another vision after you got on this, you realized the one part of your ministry, the false part, the things, the false God that you had preached and served, what were put into your true, authentic self of who you really were. You finally saw yourself for who you really were, are, in with the God of truth, and you got started on your path with the tuning forks. And you had another vision that I'd like for you to share about the stones. You were in Gulf Shores, Alabama. You were there
Correct.
With tuning forks and giving demonstrations.
Yes, I was at a wonderful week conference called Fancy and Spirit for 200 or 300 or so practitioners and people, mostly from Columbus, Ohio, lived, and I had been invited there. So we all kind of went from each other's rooms, and we all had to do our modalities on each other. It was just a wonderful time. And during my free time, I was drawn to these two ladies that did, one did a violin and a harp, but they played totally by spirit. And I was drawn to that because in the metaphysical world, a lot of things are more planned. But these ladies totally were spontaneous in the moment, in the now. So I was drawn to that, and as this music played, it was tremendous. So I went back the next day, and I thought, well, there's so many things I need to do, but the Spirit says, go back. So as I got there, it was late, and I was sitting in a corner on the floor, actually, and all of a sudden, as the music played, people would say things and see things, and somebody said, I see the color yellow. And I went, yellow. I've always thought that's wisdom. Yellow is wisdom. And then somebody said, there's a spirit of understanding. And I went, yes, wisdom, understanding, Sophia. And Sophia is the Greek or Hebrew term for wisdom in the Bible, the Old Testament. And all of a sudden, Marcy, in my inner heart, my inner eye, I saw the most beautiful face, a feminine goddess face that I could not describe in any way. Beautiful. And I was just enamored with the beauty of this. The hair was light. And it was human but not human. Then all of a sudden I noticed the eyes of this feminine entity, and it was concerning about something. And I didn't know, but I just felt to follow the eyes where it was looking. And when I followed it, I went into a dark, dark shadow place. And in that place was a place where masses of people every day had to cross this body of water. And to do that, these stones had been placed perfectly for them to get over to the other side and then return back each day without any problem. They were perfectly placed. And then all of a sudden it became very, very dark, and like the clouds came over the moon. And I saw these entities come out of this darkness, and they had hoods on and all kinds of strange paraphernalia was hanging around them, crosses and all kinds of things. And they came out, and they began to take a stone out here and a stone there, like they had studied which stones. And the next day when the people came, they couldn't make it across this body of water. Some would fall in. Some would get stuck on a stone. Some would return back. And I realized they were missing stones. Well, at that time, I had just found out about these six missing tones that had been taken out of the Gregorian chants of the Catholic Church by the 17th century or so. And I thought, well, I feel, and this is confirmation to me, that we have sounds that have been taken out of our music, especially in the West, that have left these blind spots in consciousness. And there's a quote that you know I do, that mm-hmm. when there's a blind spot in consciousness, the ego fills in with illusion.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that was telling me that these tones were just missing stones that could help people to bridge themselves over easily and effortlessly into the next stage.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be done by sound.
And these and this was done deliberately, this taking changing up the music in our world. That was done deliberately, wasn't it?
Absolutely, and I'm sorry to say that. I'd like to say it wasn't, but the real truth is everything has been pretty much planned by the few that has held the power.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that with really no judgment. It's just the way it's been.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm more, you know, a lot of people spend their time on conspiracy.
On that
and what
part
happened,
of it. Mm-hmm.
But let's go this way and look at the future. There's a place where Yeshua, Jesus, in the Bible is quoted as saying, be as wise as the serpent, but as harmless as the dove. And that has always meant so much to me, Mercy, because I believe he was saying, don't mess with success. Those who have been in control of the planet have been successful to divide and conquer, but you will be as wise as them, but you'll change the motive to unite and heal what
mm-hmm.
has been divided and conquer. So
mm-hmm.
I feel like there's a shift going on of all this information that has been hidden through the ages is now being given to all of us at our fingertips. All
right.
We have to do is set in our own house, put in anything we want, and there's just no secrets anymore. It's being revealed and shouted from the housetops.
I don't think people realize to the extent that the music has been altered, though, and you found that out when you got into your studies about the DNA, and
right.
you found out that there was a tone that UCLA had discovered that DNA could be repaired. And they repaired it with a sound. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Well, I can only tell you what I learned about that. I've not been able to confirm what this quote is, but there was a frequency, 528 hertz. And if any of your listeners want to Google 528 hertz, they will get more than they probably want to read. This is a very powerful frequency now. It's called the love frequency. It's part of the sun. It's many things. But the biochemists were using to repair DNA. And I wanted that sound. But we didn't have that frequency anywhere in Western 12-tone temperament closed.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to try to explain to the people, how the 12-tone temperament, when we change the way we tune everything,
exactly.
You know, when they sound that A in an orchestra and all the orchestra instruments tune up to it, it's under 12-tone temperament, which is not the original sounds.
No,
right?
And if you went into the other cultures, whether it be Asian, Eastern, Chinese, Indian music, Hindu-type music, you would never find 12-tone temperament. Only in the
mm-hmm.
West.
Mm-hmm.
And all that merely means to your listeners, and you don't have to be a music scholar to understand, if you sit down to piano and play all the white and black notes from C to C, you'd have 12 notes. That's why it's called 12-tone temperament. But
mm-hmm.
the thing is when you go from C to C, you close the circles.
It. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's closed. So every time we listen to Western music, it's keeping us closed in. But if you go and not close it and maybe go a little dissonant, you open the circle and it spirals and it catches this universal law of torsion energy. Now, torsion energy just means spiral. It spirals, but it doesn't just spiral randomly. It spirals in this geometrical golden mean ratio, which mm-hmm. is just a sacred ratio. All people need to know it's a sacred ratio. And that's what we're doing with the tuning forks, is we are
Let's look for those things where that sacred ratio is, the way the pine cone is and sunflower seeds and
mm-hmm.
shells and our body. Can you talk about some of that?
Yeah, that's called Fibonacci. That's a Fibonacci series. Fibonacci series, any of your listeners who's ever been to the beach, picked up a shell and listened to it, they're going to hear a sound. And if they look at how the spiral or the circle of the shell is, that's in a spiral of what's called Fibonacci. Fibonacci is a kind of Arabic mathematics. It's not important to understand all that. But it is something to do with nature, whether it's leaves, whether it is anything in nature follows the Fibonacci series.
Yeah, we're a big bunch of mathematics and sounds.
Absolutely, and we're so out of tune.
I know.
So out of tune.
Because
people
going to
say, I'm having a weird
sound.
Day, I don't know what's wrong with me today. They're just out of tune. That's all that's wrong with people.
Yeah.
So everybody needs a good tuning.
So you found out then that's when you found out, and when you studied the DNA, where we were only using 3% or?
That was the last. I think all the numbers are so changing. We have to be careful about numbers. But at my last research and study, and this was by Carl Sagan, the popular evolutionist guy, that human beings was only 3% of genetic. He says
possibility.
Gibberish.
And the rest of it was supposed to be gibberish. Or
yeah,
stuff that was already,
was,
we didn't need, when actually
right.
it's pure potential.
Well, it was called DNA junk in the old uh-huh. science because it was left over from evolution. Now it's shifted to, okay, we need it. Probably in that junk are the treasures of how we can eradicate diseases, and everything else is in that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very important that human beings understand that even though we have 3 billion letters in a double helix, we've only used about 3 to 5% of that. So we're mostly unused genetic information.
And the way to tap into that is vibratorily using sound, right?
Exactly. And here's the thing that's fascinating about the tuning forks. I call it raw sound. Why I call it raw sound is because if I hear music, and I love music, I even like Western music. Everybody loves music. We love music we've grown up with. But it always attaches an emotion or a memory, right?
Mm-hmm.
We hear 50s or 60s music, we think about who we're breaking up with or who we just met or fell in love with or whatever. When you hear a tuning fork, the brain goes nowhere. There is no memory. There is no emotion. So you don't go into your emotional body. Because if music takes you into your emotional body, it knocks you out consciously. So a tuning fork, and this is Candace Perk's work, says that raw vibration goes through all the layers of all defense mechanisms, of all belief systems, whatever layers of the onion there is, goes directly to the 70 different receptors of our chromosomes, which causes them to vibrate. And as they vibrate into each other's field, they begin to connect, called ligands, which is an interesting word because we get religion also from it because it means to bind together.
Mm-hmm.
And as they bind together in a certain kind of way, it opens the chromosome to the DNA. So you're going directly into DNA, which is mostly water molecules. We're 80, 90% water.
Mm-hmm.
So why people think that DNA or anything else is set in stone, I do not know why people believe that when we're mostly nothing but water and space.
Well, nothing is set in stone. We're in a free will planet where everything is vibration, so everything is constantly moving. Nothing is set
changing,
in stone.
Changing, evolving.
And we're a part of that process. It's a process. We're an integral part of that process because we're the observer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, of course, we know the observer creates. But it observes, it affects
mm-hmm.
it. And
well, I don't want to get away from the tuning forks here, because I was headed towards something in this change of the way our music is in the world, and talk a little bit about how they how you discovered that they had taken out the original, one of the original primordial sounds, the oot note. Could you talk about that?
Yes. Actually, it began in the 11th century. If you read a lot of things about the 11th century, we really went into a dark age. A lot of things happened. One of the things was the bringing in of a gentleman to do a shortcut technique on how to teach Gregorian chants. And he would put little places on his hand and point to it. So they took out the process of the theory of teaching music. And this was Guido of Arezzo. And so he comes in, and of course anybody who comes in as a teacher or whatever, all of us, we can't help it, we're human, but we bring our agenda. We see life through our own rosy glasses. So he came in, and the first thing that was in the song that he was using, which was John the Baptist, and the first line of it was a vibration that was called ut quintlaxis, or ut, U-T. He said, well, we can't have that because that's a consonant. So he said, we're going to replace it, and he replaced it with do. So do became the first part of the scale in the West. And, of course, by the 70s, we have Julie Andrews in the meadow with the kids teaching do as a deer.
Yeah.
So this is how watered down it became, from ut quintlaxis, which is a fantastic frequency for getting rid of guilt and fear and all these kind of things, was taken out of the music. So he continued on with all of the six lines of this song, and said, well, we got to have a seventh, because at the time in the early church they believed there's only seven planets, so seven was completion. And we've all been taught that, even in Christian, that seven, you know, 7 days, seven this, and really in numerology, nine is completion. So he added I guess his mentor or whoever, but he added Sancto Ionis's initials, S-I, which is C. Now, how C became T, I do not know, with jam and bread, but all of a sudden we have Dylan Deer, Ray, A Drop of Golden Sun, we have this cute little thing, and I love that movie. It's a wonderful movie. I love Julie Andrews, but it took away some powerful frequencies. And you know, Marcy, what is so interesting about this, of all the research of 13 years, we have never found where there was any misconduct in the monasteries until these frequencies had been taken out in the 11th century.
When they stopped chanting the original primordial sounds and they started working with the altered sounds.
Exactly.
And that's when it altered our consciousness to the place where the more base part of man was freed. Before, it brought us into union with God, the primordial sounds of the chants. In all the chanting of all the peoples of the world, that was to bring in union with God.
Exactly.
And then that's when all the, when there was no longer union with God, then all it's doing is just amplifying the base part of man.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's
so
what
then
we see
that's
today.
Why the Mozart music is so powerful, because Mozart wrote with the ut note, right? You found an actual printed piece of music that
yeah,
had
I
ut
found
the
CD
it?
Actually. Somebody
it's
brought me
really
a CD. They found in a garage sale, believe it or not. And it was actually Bearden, I think it was his name, the composer, but it had on there ut re mi fa sol la. Exactly the frequencies in which we're using for the tuning fork. So that
okay,
was a great...
so without going into how these original primordial sounds were discovered, or unless you think that's important, let's go into those sounds, the actual sounds of the six tuning forks of the. They're kind of like the original primordial sounds of creation, would you say?
Well, I have
ut do re mi fa so. Ut do
I have put out the thought that 6 days of creation creation and a rest. Represents mm-hmm. six fundamental sounds.
And yeah, while we're on that, just as a diversion here, just for a moment, since the 666 has always been shown to be such a, you know, evil thing, in all of your research and all while you were doing all this, you discovered the good part of the 666, which is what?
Well, I found out that the carbon atom, which most of the universe is made out of,
six numbers constitute a recipe for the universe.
Well, no. So the carbon atom has six protons, six neutrons, six electrons. 666, which is 18, which is a 9. So that's how it all started with me. That
mm-hmm.
six actually is the number of man, that it's not a bad number, but it's actually the number
of
information in the cell. It's codes that are coded in the cell.
Yeah, which we're only using 3% of right now.
Exactly.
Got 97% to go to get awake. It's a matter of waking them up.
Yeah, but it's going to happen so fast.
Getting in contact.
It has begun, and it's going to gain momentum and happen so fast. You know, there's a Greek mythology that says in the 11th hour the gods show up.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that just before we hit midnight, it's going to happen. It's just going to show up, yeah.
Okay, so now these six tones, you just use six, and then the rest, and then a rest. Okay, so let's start with that. Okay, so can we go through the six tones?
Yes.
And just so people understand, these are tuning forks that are have been made and calibrated. Maybe we should mention a little bit about that. John Ballou makes your tuning forks, and tell me the process.
Well, actually, we have a new manufacturer now, but I'm in process. But the tuning forks are beautifully colored, and I colored them to the colors of the chakras. So we have a root, red, and so on and so forth. And I actually did that for teaching purposes, but it ended up being extremely powerful to put the color with it.
Mm-hmm.
The six is very powerful because, as I said, six is really the number of the universe. It's a powerful number. So the six frequencies that was removed by Guido in the begins with the ut quintlaxis. Now these are all medieval Latin terms, and if you stop and think how things changed in the Roman Church after they stopped doing Latin, I think doing Latin was as powerful as you and I used to do when we did tongues and did praise.
Mm-hmm.
Because the brain didn't know what we were saying.
Mm-hmm.
And when the brain doesn't know what it's saying, the spirit gets through.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw miracles and healings and all kinds of wonderful
things. Sure did.
Well, when the Catholics were doing Latin, they didn't know much what they were saying. So they were doing the same thing. But then when Vatican II came along, of course, Latin was put aside. So that was not in the best service, I think, of the Roman Church, in my opinion. And I'm no expert on the Roman Church. Whatever. So ut quintlaxis is a 396. I don't have any information in front of me, so I'm going to do this. The next is ray, not a drop of golden sun. But
so how many frequency
factories.
Is the ut?
Ut is 396.
396, okay.
396, that means it vibrates 396 times in 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
And
then
ray,
it, and tell what it does, the ut.
All right, it is.
In fact, when I worked the health show with you, the Los Angeles Health Expo,
mm-hmm.
you know, we had that booth there, and my experience with the OOT note was just unbelievable, because when people would come in for, we were, you know, just doing little mini healings and mini tunings, and when I would tune the OOT note with them, and it was like their whole body just longed to hear hear it, it's like, oh, there it is. There's the sound that I've needed to hear. It was like it brought just miraculous experiences to the people.
Let me just give me a couple of minutes to explain why that is. The Utfork, which is red, stands for the root chakra, which is from conception to the age of 3 or 5, about 5 years old. And that is our tribal. Everything that happened to us is in that root chakra from conception to about 5 years old when we start kindergarten at school. And that's why people are resonating with it, because so many people are still dealing with family dramas and tribal issues, and we're living in that very density of our humanity. And so much of ourselves
and can't seem to get free from it.
Right, and the vibration.
People can't get free from
that.
It.
Yeah,
and we need to be freed from it.
Yeah, and the only way to be free from it is to tap into the free energy, zero energy, and bring it into that chakra.
Mm-hmm.
When that new energy comes in, it begins to free up all the old imprints of everything that happened to us that is the root fundamental blueprints that we're going to build everything else on. Happens. You know, the Catholic Church says give us our children until they're 5 years old, we have them for life.
No wonder they took the Ute note out.
Exactly. They understood
that. And that kept people in all those false belief systems and all those terrible things, you know, those imprints of the child, because the child is so innocent and just soaks it all up, we don't know we're being lied to and manipulated and controlled, and then it just keeps you in that.
Well, even in vitro, you know, when we're just plasmic beings without a skeletal or anything, Wilhelm Reich's work was that if we have a hostile environment around us where there's abuse going on or fear, that we don't expand, we contract, and that plasma that we are becomes our fascia, our connective tissue, and that's why people are so tight and rigid and have small peripheries in life and are not adventurous and step out.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
The tuning forks is wonderful to work with that type of trauma that we hold in our connective tissue.
Yeah.
So that's why I think people was wanting that frequency, because that's where it starts, is with that first fork. If we don't get that taken care of, how can we move up the ladder?
Uh-huh. That's right. Okay, so then the second frequency is the do
ray.
Do.
It is ray, 417 hertz, and it is Resoné Fabrice. And it was a way of helping people when it was sung to let go of whatever they were trying to let go that was no longer serving them, like a memory from the past or somebody did me wrong and I don't want to hold on to it. So that frequency would clear that out and keep letting that fresh, vital life energy come in, you know, all the time. So it's a powerful fork also. That's 417.
Now, the Ute, before we leave the Ute, when people come to you and they know they need to make a change in their life, but they don't seem to be able to have the get up and go to make the change. They know they should, you know, but they can't. And is it at the root chakra where that energy is released?
Yes, good. That's a good observation. The first thing we do before we do anything is to connect people at the coccyx with energy that they're not using. Everybody doesn't
mm-hmm.
use all the energy. The way I say this is, let's just say when you were born, somebody put $100 million in their account for you and you didn't know it was there. So you lived on a week-to-week check and just made it. But
barely
you had all
made
that
it.
Money. Barely made it. Survival of the species.
And you were rich.
Then somebody taps you into that money, and the next thing you know, you're manifesting like crazy because you've got all this money as your source.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're telling people they're not using all the energy that Creator has given us in a lifetime. It's all in reserve. So we connect them to that, and then we start bringing that energy in and integrating it into their third energy anatomy, mind-body connection. That gives
and you,
it,
and you raise
people,
it up, you can raise it up through the spinal fluid, right?
You, absolutely. It is almost like
go
the
all the way up to the top and come back down.
Yeah, it would be like the etheric river of life,
mm-hmm.
or what would be in the physical would be called the cerebral spinal fluid.
Mm-hmm.
That moves all the way up the spine and into the brain. So then the etheric, it is this tremendous elixir of vital energy. It's the river that I mentioned. Jesus talks about out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water and all this kind of thing. So the river is an etheric field. And that's where we hold a lot of things where we can change our physical is in the etheric. So you have
first,
to connect people
we
up.
We have to change it there first, right?
It has to be there first because that's what's becoming the body.
That's where the blueprint is.
A lot of people believe the body has an aura. I teach the aura has a body or becomes the body. So we start the wrong direction because the brain always sees matter before energy. But the Holy Spirit part of our mind, which is our true mind, our sane mind, always sees it not through the glass darkling, but sees it the way it is, and it's always energy becoming physiology. So
mm-hmm.
if you work in the energy first, you can change the physical, because the physical is just an effect.
Yeah, the body's just neutral. Just
it's just neutral, soma. Soma's neutral
mm-hmm.
in the Greek. It's just neutral. So we work in the etheric field, which is the energy field, and we try to find blockages, imprints, and things like that, which you can feel. You can feel a density or the fork will stop, or there's many ways that we teach that how you will learn to know that you have found something in the etheric body. Then you take that new energy and you take out that old misinformation, and then you start putting it in with new information, because information becomes flesh. The word,
yes.
Logos,
the word
flesh.
Became flesh.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so we do
next,
the oot. First we
okay.
find the unused energy.
Mm-hmm.
Then the oot dissolves guilt and fear.
Mm-hmm.
Shame helps to break that up, clear out the traumas from birth to 5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next one
our second chakra is the ray, and that ray. Is when we start school and relations with others outside the tribe. So that's going to be the rest of your life, how you have a relationship with a person is going to be built upon that information or misinformation that's in that second chakra.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the third one is the famous one we just talked about, the me fork.
The me. The me, which is the miracle fork.
And that's Mater. That
alter the DNA.
Mater gestorum in medieval Latin means miracle.
Yeah.
So that's been working.
So then that's where, you know, if we go to the doctor and he wants to have all of our hereditary information, that doesn't matter anymore, because we do not have to be predisposed into any inherited weaknesses.
Well, it's certainly possible.
It's possible to repair that.
Yeah. That's a very powerful place. Now we've entered into about the age of 12 or 13, like Bar Mitzvah's rites of passage. This is when you're getting ready for adolescence at the solar plex. And that's when you start feeling your body. So this is going to be how you're going to have a relationship with yourself. So you see how this is progressing. Relationship with tribe, others, and self are
mm-hmm.
the first three chakras. And that's where most humans live. I think where most diseases are in the world, and especially in America today, cervical cancer, prostate cancer, pancreas, diabetes,
mm-hmm.
gallbladder issues, digestion, and colon. Those are where the diseases are, because we've never taken out the dis-ease of the etheric
mm-hmm.
in those three
mm-hmm.
frequencies.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that is Mater Gestorum, that is yellow or gold fork, and it is fire. It is the fire fork. Represents fire, earth, water, fire. And that is passion, the passion to get things done, the passion to not just have ideas but to act on them. A person could have, say, writer's block. Most likely would be in that chakra. So if you bring the energy into that, people break through and begin to become more active and bring things to fruition.
So if there's a talent or a gift that they're not expressing yet, that could be energized.
Exactly. If
mm-hmm.
maybe they're maybe it's trying to form
what they've always wanted to do. Oh, I wished I'd always done this or that.
Then we move more inwardly into the more spiritual side of this thing, and that's the green fork, which is the color for the heart chakra. And I mean, I can't say too much about the heart chakra. The heart is certainly the new part of the brain. We know that in the etheric field, 60% of the same neurons that's in the brain is now in the heart. So the heart...
I like to say the heart has its own brain.
It has its own mind, absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it is where fifth dimensional information can get in.
It comes in,
the heart,
right.
Yeah, and bypasses the brain, which
mm-hmm.
is all our belief systems.
It's a knowing.
It's a knowing place. It's mm-hmm. not a analyzing place. It's a, just a
right.
knowing. It's almost like, and the knowing, Marcy, is almost like a remembering. Like I knew it, but I forgot it.
Mm-hmm.
So that
yeah,
is
it
the
won't
place
be anything
heart.
To be fearful of. It's like, oh yeah, it's a
it's
where
it's,
the light
it's
turns
aha,
on.
Oh
yeah,
moment.
Wow, that's it.
Yeah. Oh, I just felt that. When people say I feel it rather than I think,
uh-huh.
you can tell where they are. Because
mm-hmm.
we have feelers, thinkers, and sensors. So people say, oh, I don't know, I think that's wrong. Or somebody says, that doesn't feel right to me. Or somebody said, I sense this is right. So people have different ways in which we process data,
mm-hmm.
you know, in those different ways. So the heart is so important. What can I say? It's just the way in. It's the way into the inner part. But I do want to say the heart is connected to that powerful little fourth of an inch gland in the middle of the brain called the pineal gland.
Mm-hmm.
So fifth dimensional energy comes into the heart, bypasses the brain, goes to the pineal gland. The pineal gland, which makes its melatonin, which is natural light, makes now chemical light, which gives it to the brain. So there's a flip between the heart and the brain, because actually the heart is made before the brain in utero.
Mm-hmm.
But around adolescence, we flip it, and the brain takes over the heart. So now, in the work that we're doing at Soma Energetics, we're reestablishing that order of the heart with the brain and teaching them how to couple between thought and feeling. And when you put feeling with thought, it becomes so creative and so powerful.
Right.
Because there's a difference in an empty firing of a neuron
idea. Yeah.
Without a feeling. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of
it takes the whole. Two to create.
Exactly. We call it coupling.
Mm-hmm.
Coupling. And that is, let's see, where were we? 369, 417, 580. Okay, now we're at 639. So we're getting the same number as OOD, but in a different sequence, and that's an anagram. When you have the same numbers, but in different sequence, that's an anagram. So those two, the heart and the root, are all connected up in the tennis courts. So then you come to this very interesting place. I probably do more work with people in the throat, because that's the place where the true self can express itself. That's where the place of truth can get through. And you can speak this creative word. You know, I love the place where it says, Jesus said, my words are spirit.
And they are life.
And they are. They are spirit. The brain can think about spirit, but it never can be what it thinks about. But when the spirit is spoken through the word, through the sound, then it expresses itself and extends itself into the world, into the collective consciousness.
And see, that's what Alice Bailey said 150 years ago.
Absolutely. She had.
And that's what
so
the light workers are going to do, is be speaking these words of life, these words of spirit.
I want to commend you for starting out with that. That I start out every lecture with that quote.
You're kidding.
Like,
no.
every lecture I do, I start right there with that quote of Alice Bailey.
That's so interesting.
So you were right on target with that one. So the throat is a blue, and it's 528, and it's a law fork. I mean, it's a sol, S-O-L, for solve polluti. And you can even hear in that word, if you listen carefully, solve equity, solving issues, solving by speaking your own truth. How many times I've listened to myself minister and out of my own mouth came an answer to
mm-hmm.
my own question.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's the wonderful place of sound, the element of sound. And then we go up to the between the eyebrows to what we call the brow chakra, or the some call it the third eye, which is the pituitary gland and the pineal gland, the master glands. And this is the place of intuition, the ability to see through the world of illusion, to see the hidden agenda of people, places, and things. This is where you are, you have the energy and you're empowered to not be manipulated, controlled. I just said to someone recently, they're getting so good at marketing on the internet that you think you want to buy everything that comes through your internet, every vitamin, every herb, every pill. It is the magic bullet. And I have to watch it because it's so good. But then I have to look past all of that and say, now what is the heart of this? Do I need this? Is this something that I really need, or is it just good marketing? So that one thing could change our lives if we could be so self-empowered that we're not controlled and manipulated.
Exactly.
By how technology is on the outside.
And that is that the throat chakra, you think?
I'm sorry?
Where we cannot be as vulnerable to being manipulated and controlled because we'll be able to be speaking our own truth.
Yeah, well, that's the brow chakra with throat chakra. One thing I've noticed lately, you might find interesting, I've not had a chance to visit with you about, but I'm finding out how the chakras are overlapping into each other and creating this physical Pisces, this place between two circles. And I said, why is that happening? And the guides that have guided me for 13 years through this, I just call it the Holy Spirit, but it's guides. It's actually six archangels. Said to me, because we're creating, all the chakras are going to become a new energy field, a new field for the body. Some call it the Merkaba, the light body. And that's what happened to Jesus. If you remember, went to the high
mm-hmm.
mountain and took Peter and all of them, and it said
the
light outrayed him, and he wore that light on the outside of himself. So I think
so. We're going to be able to do that.
Absolutely, we are climbing.
Bring
the
light out and start to glow, maybe.
Absolutely, and why not? And be like a city set on a hill, it cannot
mm-hmm.
be hidden. So I think all this innerness is going to also be out of us. It's not going to be an inner and outer anymore. That's going to go with the old paradigm.
Mm-hmm.
I think body, mind, spirit's going to go. I think everything's energy now. And I think we're going to see all this last bit of separation in the name of spirituality is going to be washed away by this universalism of oneness and everything is everything else. This whole unified field idea of quantum physics.
Jesus said there was a field, and in that field there was a pearl of great price.
Pearl of great price.
Boy, now we're really finding out what that is.
Yeah. My favorite quote for that is Rumi's, beyond all good and evil, there is a field. Meet me there.
Yes. Okay, we got to the throat. I have to say that since I've started this radio show,
mm-hmm.
I have had just I've seen a big change in me when I decided that I had something to say and that I was going to stop being quiet. I mean, I kind of lived a solitary life because, I mean, it was like, who could you talk to, you know? And so I just decided, all right, I can go on the internet and I can have a radio show and I can finally talk. And since I've been doing this show, I have seen such a change in me. In all my relationships and the people that I see and the people that I'm in contact with, you know, on a daily basis and with my family and everything, there's just been such a change. And people are saying things like, gosh, Marcy, what's happened to you? Or what's going on with you? And it's because I feel like I'm finally being the real me. I'm finally doing what I'm supposed to do. You know, I'm being authentic. I'm being real. And I'm not being afraid anymore to speak and say what I need to say. So it is very liberating to be able to finally have your throat free.
Yeah, absolutely.
This communication business, being able to communicate
and
speak the truth.
How happy I am for you that you found your voice.
Okay, so now the last one is, the throat is the last one, or no, third eye.
No, the third eye
purple.
Is the last one. That's law.
Yeah, purple.
Purple fork. And it is labriatum, and it is the frequency 852. Now, if you remember, the me fork was 528. So again, you have three numbers in different sequence, so you have another anagram. So you have three sets of anagrams in the tuning forks. Now, are we ready to go to the seventh?
Well, share what you found about that.
Yeah. Well,
because
I only had six forks.
Yeah, you just have six.
Yeah, so I said, okay, what am I going to do? I got a crown chakra up here, and I got a seventh one. Should I go to the next sequence of numbers? What should I do? Dr. Puneo, who found out this, stuck with the six. Now, a lot of people have gone to nine forks and all kinds of things out there. But I stayed true to what who he called Yeshua, Jesus, told him, and that was the six. So I've stayed true to that, and I've been blessed for it, very blessed by staying with the six. So I said, what do I do then? And it just came to me, so out of my higher consciousness, use all six to make the seventh sound. I went, oh, my God, I've never thought of that. That is so interesting. So we use all the six forks, which is, think about it, all color makes white light. So
mm-hmm.
I've always seen white light. A lot of people see a different color at the crown, but I see white light. If you look, think of all the pictures of all the saints and everybody, they always had white halos. So all six forks make the seventh sound at the crown. And that is where, of course, we are connected to our source.
You create the still point.
And you create the still point, and then it refracts and bends to go down the front of the body. So you go up the spine, and, of course, when you're going up the spine, you're going against gravity, but when you get right over the midbrain, the pineal gland, you'll feel this going into a still point, and then you're going with gravity, so the speed changes, and that's called refraction. So at that point, the sound of phonons going up the spine becomes photons, light, going down the body.
Mm-hmm.
So it's I've done a lot of tunings in 13 years, and right now where I'm doing this here in Charlotte is the most intense time of the 13 years that I'm doing this. And I've had to extend my tunings to an hour and a half because now I'm going under the title of a sound coach. So I spend 30 minutes of coaching before I'll even put them on the table, because we have to find out what it is that we're going to do that day. I used to just put people on the table and go, and this has been so powerful by doing some counseling and coaching, and I'm taking notes, and the Holy Spirit is speaking to me, and the time we get on that table, I have customized.
You know where to go and what to do.
I know, absolutely. I'm ready
to go.
So we have DNA forks, and we get into generations and go back so many generations, because a lot of things are not our stuff, and we're blaming ourselves. Like, what is wrong with me?
Yeah, you talked about that lady who had the dominant DNA on her one side that she had gotten from her dad that she was always angry about. What was that story? Maybe it was too long ago to remember, but...
Yeah, well, I've just had so many of those that we have found... that, you know, the chakra just wouldn't balance, and we wondered why, and we got, you know, kind of working with this, and I have a naturopath doctor friend that's got quite a practice in the Pocono Mountains of Pennsylvania and started using the DNA forks and for a year before we even started teaching them. And she had some tremendous, one I'd like to tell you is great, but a young man came to her, teenager. His mother had never hugged him. He couldn't be touched. And he wanted to wash his hands all the time. I mean, he had OCD so bad, if I'm saying it right, is it OCD? And she talked in the tuning forks, and the bottom line of the story is this, I'll go to the bottom line, is that his ancestors so many generations ago were a part of the German Nazi army and had been a part of the exterminating of Jewish people, that he couldn't get the blood off of his hands. And when she went back so many generations, he's in college, his mother hugs him, he's the most lovable kid. In fact, they were on one of our SomaShare DVDs. The mother came on to tell this story of how the tuning forks changed her son. So we hear this all the time. And a lot of our stuff is not our stuff, but it's our ancestors' stuff. Remember the Bible says the sins of the father shall fit
third and fourth generation.
Absolutely. And I'm doing tremendous work with DNA and RNA forks. It's fantastic what's happening.
I know in your book you have a paragraph about pain. That pain in the physical body is pain is when the physical body is trying to be in its divine state of health and balance, but there's something in the way. The body's trying to overcome the obstacle, and this is what causes the pain. And the tuning fork can search out what that obstacle is and break it up, because sound alters matter. And I don't think what people understand is if they hold a thought form in their body, if they've got some kind of a resentment or an anger or a hurt, a traumatic thing, it's stored in the cells. And that's what you said Dr. Candace Pert learned about these receptors in the cells. And it's stored in there. But the sound, and that's what causes the pain, is that thing that's stuck in that cell that's not supposed to be there. And then the sound, when the right sound is heard, then that's what allows that ligand to open up the cell and allow that cell to go in there and break it up, because it'll break it up and then allow it to be released.
Well, just think about if you're an apartment or something like that, and if there's a lot of noise, you'll go right through the wall. You hear the noise. You hear the noise. A plane goes over, you hear the noise. So sound doesn't know walls. It goes through the walls.
It's just vibration, energy. That's how our cell phones work.
Exactly.
And the internet, and it's on these waves.
Wonderful little vibration. Book just put in my hands recently. I called the author because I was so impressed. It was just a little booklet. But her thing, and the book, the name of the book was kind of interesting, but it's called Sound Off. And what she had learned was that pain is trapped sound. And she started working with people to make sound with their pain. You know, to really feel the pain. Yeah, what does it sound like when you have that pain? Like, oh, I mean, what's the first thing if you mash your finger? You're going to grab it and say, ouch. There's no way you're going to be quiet. Mm-hmm. You're going to make a sound when you hurt yourself. Mm-hmm. So she's doing a tremendous thing with these soldiers that are coming back from Afghanistan and stuff, and helping them to find out
what their
pain sound like. Yeah, and it's just amazing.
I've seen some of that. Yeah, I have seen that.
Right.
So sound can be the releaser. Sound can break up a thought form that's in there. And so sound is sort of the answer.
Well, I think if we can go back to anything that's the origin,
the very beginning
of creation is sound.
Mm-hmm.
Something, and here's the thing that's really interesting that surprises a lot of people in the classes. I always ask people, what is the most perfect sound in the universe? Some will say the ohm. No, that's primordial. But the most perfect sound in the universe is silence. Silence is not an absence of sound. It is sound in its most purest form while it's still in the void of potential. Now, if I held a tuning fork in front of you, you would hear nothing. But if I disturb the nothing by tapping the fork on a hockey puck or something, then you're going to hear it. And what you're hearing is disrupted silence. It's the same way with color. If you put the same light through a prism and each frequency disrupts it, you see the spectrum of red, orange, yellow, green, so on and so forth. So all colors disrupted light. All sounds that we hear is disrupted silence. And that's why meditation and all those who attain to that state really attain to the source. The source is not some old man with a beard or whatever. It is the perfect, purest potential of silence. And from there
comes everything.
Everything. Everything.
Everything comes up out of there.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. The gap. Chopra calls it that moment, that gap.
The gap of silence.
Moment of silence. Pure potential.
Yeah.
Pure energy.
Yeah.
All knowing. Yeah. And that's available all the time. That doesn't turn on or off. That's available all the time.
I told a group recently, I said, human beings are like fish. Fish are in their water. The ocean or wherever they are. They don't know they're in water. Wouldn't it be interesting for a fish who didn't know it was in water, who's looking for water? We don't realize that all this so-called empty space we're in is actually a field of free energy.
Mm-hmm. And
all
everybody's always so tired.
The
There's all these autoimmune diseases where everybody's just so tired because their real authentic self has been so quenched where it can't be in tune with this boundless energy. So they're just exhausted all the time. And yet here they are, vibrating in this immense void, which is pure energy.
Exactly. So what we're doing is recycling the same energy over and over and over and over until it gets so stale and slow and heavy and dense, just like if you wouldn't change the oil in your car.
Mm-hmm.
What would happen? Your car's not going to run good.
Mm-mm.
But you go get more oil because, right, at least right now, we have a source of oil in the world, so you can go get you another 4 quarts or 6 quarts of oil and put it in your car, and it's going to run good. The same way with energy. We don't have to use the same energy to heal when we're sick or do this and do that. We got this whole inexhaustible
inexhaustible supply of energy.
That's right.
Available
will
to
let
us
come
at
and
all
drink.
Times.
Whosoever will let him come and drink, and he'll never thirst again. That's beautiful when you put it into that context.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That it's inexhaustible. That's what God is. God is an inexhaustible source of the all, everything. And here we call ourselves the children of God or the children of the universe or whatever, and we go around with all this limitation.
Well, it's because we stayed a little child. We're supposed to grow up and become an adult. You're not supposed to stay a little child.
No.
God's looking for mature sons of God that'll be manifested out to the groaning creation with some kind of help. And one way people could be helpful is to learn about being a sound practitioner. And
absolutely.
So that we don't forget, let's first of all, let's let everybody know where you are and what your book is and how they can get a copy of the book and also the workshops. Let's talk about the book first. You were going to, I remember when we were first working on that, we were going to call it Tune In, Tune Up, or Tune In, Tune Out, or Tune Up, and that's what I called this show tonight, because that was the original working title of the book. And then it finally came to be a fork in the road because it was such a dramatic moment in your life where your ministry totally changed, and you took a new fork in the road, and it turned out to be the tuning fork. So
exactly.
So what? Where can they? How can they get the book?
Well, you can get it on our website. You can get it on Amazon.com, but you can get it through us at www.somaenergetics. That's SOMAENERGETICS.com, and we have a great website.
SomaEnergetics.com. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And it's called A Fork in the Road.
Fork in the Road. And
by David
Hulse,
H-U-L-S-E.
Correct.
Okay. And then the tuning fork, becoming a tuning fork practitioner. Now, I went through the whole course. I didn't do the DNA forks, but I did the level one and the level two. And actually, I just sent in my money for my certification for this year, because I never know if I always want to be, available and ready.
Yes, and we
should
be.
I mean, if somebody would want to have a tuning, I could do it, and I would be board certified and be professional about it. So, so talk a little bit about that.
Okay, we offer what we call phases. They used to be levels, but actually they're phases because we're just in a phase, going to the next phase. The first one is a 12-hour workshop that's usually on a weekend, and there's 6 hours of teaching and 6 hours of hands-on. And it's a powerful workshop, and it's called the Energy Vitality Technique. And that is doing exactly what we've talked about on this broadcast.
Yeah, it is amazing. You know, you're working with a partner, and, of course, these are not people you know. The one I went to, I think everybody was from each one of us represented a different state. the first one I took by the video, you can offer it by, are you still offering it by video?
Yes, DVD, you can take level one by DVD and still get credit for that.
And then the second one I did in St. Louis, and everybody there was from a different place.
Yeah, yeah.
So on the website, it tells when the next ones are and where they are, right?
Right.
Okay, so level one, or phase one now.
Okay, phase one is
vitality technique. Mm-hmm.
And that is how to give a client extra energy beyond survival.
Mm-hmm.
We are not healers. We do not call ourselves healers. We are facilitators that help people.
The only person
that's
the healer is the person themselves. They have to bring it out from inside of themselves.
This is self-healing. The body knows exactly how to heal itself if it has the energy to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But if it doesn't have the energy, it can't heal. Just like you can't write that check out for the Mercedes if you don't have enough money or credit to do it. So we're going to do that first. Balance our chakras, get that new energy intelligently to integrate into the third energy anatomy, giving this person a surplus of energy beyond survival. That's the first thing that has to be done. In the second phase, we do scanning, which is how to find a blockage in the etheric body. Also, we start adding in body tuners. Now, body tuners are osteoacoustic forks, which means they have weights on them. They can be felt directly on the body, like acupressure, acupuncture points, like massage therapists would use, or acupuncturists or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We mix that now. So once we have gotten the new energy in, and the energy is trying to now move, maybe it can't get through because of what you were saying a while ago about the obstacles.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's obstacles, we need to find those, and how do we repattern those and change? One of the two laws of thermodynamics is you can't destroy energy, but you can change form of energy. So at that point, we can change the form, change and get rid of the obstacle, and then the energy can flow through. So this is all about being more intuitive with forks.
Well, this is also
really
where the person themselves, the person themselves has to have the awareness of what that obstacle is.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
They participate.
They're the ones that will come forth with the awareness. You know, if you hit the obstacle, what I learned was, you know, especially with the body tuner, if you're working on a meridian system and then you hit that obstacle, then that's where you have to start to work with the client to fish it out. You know, what is this? Because you don't know what it is. The person themselves has to
get sometimes
it.
I do know what it is.
Well,
but,
sometimes
I
would know, too. And then you can ask a question or something
guides.
To help them to be aware.
Yeah. But sometimes they can't get it. So then that's when their guide will come through you, and you'll
mm-hmm.
get some kind of a nudge about that, whatever. So that's phase two. Phase three.
Don't you think it's better if they eventually have the awareness themselves rather than being told?
Well,
you can ask questions, like you ask questions, you know, what do you think? Or I just find that there was ways to bring the revelation through the person.
Well, you always want to empower your client. You never want to disempower them. You
mm-hmm.
always want to empower them. For instance, you could say to them, what did you feel when I went over this area of
mm-hmm.
your body? Did
mm-hmm.
you feel anything? You know, I did feel kind of a heaviness or sluggishness there.
Mm-hmm.
That gets them involved in the
situation. Or they'll start
situation.
To cry, or they can't get their
yeah.
breath, or there's a...
And you're not diagnosing, you're not doing anything.
No.
They're participating
mm-hmm.
in their own healing process.
Right.
So that's a very powerful class. It's definitely a step up from the first one.
Mm-hmm.
The third one, which I'm getting ready to do next weekend in Washington State, I got a sold-out workshop, is phase three, which is DNA, the RNA, which we talked about. So
yeah, I haven't done that one yet.
Oh, it's so powerful. I wish you could sometime. It's first thing we teach, and my friend who's the naturopath doctor will be with me in this one because she helped
mm-hmm.
co-create this one. But we first teach neurological balancing, how to know is the brain talking to the body through the cerebrum and cerebellum, and is the right brain talking to the left brain? And we do some wonderful work there. It's just amazing how you can find out if people are getting the data that's around them and how they're processing it through the brain into the cells. So we teach that. Then we teach if we find an issue, and there's ways of doing that, that needs a DNA, I find out, first of all, I ask, is it past life? Maybe it'll say no, and I do this with a pendulum. I work with a pendulum. Some work with muscle testing. You can work with whatever you're comfortable with.
Kinesiology. Some people use kinesiology.
Absolute kinesiology is muscle testing. Yeah. So you can work with whatever our intuition sometimes works if you're very intuitive. So I ask, says no. Is it generational? Yes. Now, sometimes it's both. Like I tell the story with my mother, you know, as you know, I took care of my mother for 10 years, and about the third year, I was about to burn out.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I can't do this. Then I went into meditation and found out I had a soul connection with her in a past life, and I grew great strength from that for the next 7 years. I was realizing I wasn't just doing this out of the duty of a son with his mother, but two souls were working out something that was karmic and had to be finished. So sometimes that happens. But if
mm-hmm.
it's generational, then I ask, is it the mother's side? Maybe it's yes. Father's side? Maybe yes. Is it the males on the mother's side? No. Is it females on the dad's side? Yes. How many generations can we go back in this session? Can we go 1, 2, 3, 4, more than 5? Yes. More than 10? No. 9, 8, 7. Then I find out how many generations, and then you take and test for which DNA, 4, and there's 4 in the alphabet of DNA, A, G, C, T, I won't get into all that, but adenine, quinine, all that. Then you find out how to do this and how to unwind those generations, and then how to transcribe it with an RNA fork to the cells, and then you seal it with the pineal gland fork. It's amazing. You would love it, Marcy. I hope you get to love it. It is one of
what
the
is
most
the
powerful
date?
Of all the workshops. I leave here next Thursday. It's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
This coming weekend?
Yep.
Oh,
yep.
Darn, I have 5 weddings. This is my last big weekend of the year. I have 5 weddings this weekend that I have to.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Well, not that I have to, that I choose to do with great joy and happiness.
Right. Well, we have them quite often, so you can maybe make them.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that's what we do. And then you can go into, if you get really serious with us, you can become a teacher and teach now level 1 and phase 1 and phase 2. You can become a sound coach. We have all kinds of ways to help you get certified so you're protected. There's a lot of things going on out there to shut
down.
Yeah,
that's the new thing that I think is wonderful because, you know, I think it was last year or maybe even the year before was the year that Time Magazine came out with its alternative medicine issue. More than 51% of the population here in the United States now looks to some form of alternative medicine for some part of their health. And and so these alternative modalities now have are being accredited, and there's a board that stands behind us. We have a code of ethics. It's all very professional now. There's mediation,
yeah.
Insurance. A lot of these things will be covered under some forms of insurance now, which never used to be before. And it's just emerging, you know. To me, it's the future. We're not going to do drugs and surgery anymore. We're going to, you know, work with the body as an energy field that can be altered and repaired.
Yes.
And to me, sound is the most, benevolent of all the therapies.
Right. We have tried our best not to just rush people through these workshops and then drop them. We actually stand behind our practitioners. We offer them a lot of coaching and help to get a business started, to know how to do it, and we really have gone way beyond about anybody out there. Yeah, we've really tried to take responsibility and be and show integrity in this work, because when something is given to you like this, you got to treat it, you know, with great humility and wisdom. And
I loved it when you told about how you, when you first were developing the techniques, you know, and it's like, you know, how do you learn how to do something when there's nobody you can call and ask them what to do?
It was the strangest, by faith, getting started.
Yeah. You said when you're doing something for the first time, you have no one to ask, is this right or is this wrong? You just go forward in fear and trembling, and you just started and did the first thing and then had to just wait by faith to believe that you would know what to do next. And a lot of times, David, that's just how we have to live our life. We take one step. We've got the light and the clarity to take one step. And then when we take that step, we don't have to see the 5,000 steps ahead of us. We take that one step. And then we see what the next step is.
Yeah.
And that's the way you did it with the tuning forks.
Well, you think of every inventor who's changed the world. You know, who did they have? Who did Edison have? Who did, you know, they all stepped out in that uncharted a field of possibility and failed many, many times before they ever even got it right, but it changed the world. And I think it's wonderful. One thing that I do feel complete about my this incarnation is being able to be a developer of something that nobody else has done with these forks. And if we'd all do that, we would expand our planet so much if everybody would come up with an original idea that nobody else ever had.
Yeah, my original idea was the sand ceremony. But, you know, I haven't made money with it because by the time I found out how original it was, you know, I had done it on national television, which put it in the public domain.
Yeah.
So mine turned out to be a gift to the world. But then there is an original idea that each and every person could have that could be an income source for them.
They can.
As
absolutely.
Well. Yeah.
Well, my
That's
vision.
That's where we pull out from these riches that are within. And there's a lot of talk today about the riches. There's going to be riches, you know, released now to the people. Well, the riches is this million-dollar bank account you were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
That this, you know, unbelievable or unending source of energy that we are, that we just need now to know how to use and operate in and then be able to help others. So all of the, if you want to be a light worker, David's been calling for the light workers. You can go to the website, www.somaenergetics.com, and find out about all the classes, all of the, I didn't consider it expensive. I considered it well within the means of my means to be able to get this education and to become have this in my I have it in my cachet of you know places where I am a professional.
Mm-hmm.
Part of my professional life. So well I want to thank you so much, David, for sharing all this. And we kind of just touched on it here and there and yonder. And I kind of wanted to finish up here with a paragraph out of your book that it says, sound can energize you when you are tired. Sound can soothe you when you are upset. Sound can lift your spirits when you are depressed. Sound can comfort you when you are grieving. Sound can heal you when you are sick. Sound can relax you when you are tense. Sound can redirect the innate, divine, healing energy within you to wherever it is needed most and in the exact way it is needed. Sound is divine. And it knows how to operate according to the original principles of life and health, according to the divine blueprint. Sound works according to divine ideas. Sound activates the God in you and works only in perfection.
Wow. That's really good.
That's
I should read my book. Again.
So I hope we just were able to my listeners tonight, I want to thank you so much for tuning in and for those of you who are going to be listening to the archived show because the Emmys are on tonight, David. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
So a lot of people are going to hear this through the archives. And I hope that you've enjoyed this little introduction into the field, this wonderful field where there's this pearl of great price, which is sound, the original primordial sounds of the universe that are for our blessing in our life. So what is it you always say, David, at the end of every... Oh, you have a tape of the month. We should tell people about that.
Yeah,
the tape of the month. You can sign up for that. Can you sign up for that on the Soma Energetics, or do you have to go to Light Within?
Yeah, well, Soma Energetics will take you to whatever you need. It's all listed there.
Because it's once a month, and it keeps us on the cutting edge of everything. And the tape of the month for me has served as a source of confirmation many, many, many times. I mean, you and I don't see each other very often. And we hardly talk very much. But I get that tape of the month, and there's always something in that tape of the month that is a confirmation to me of something that I've been thinking about or wondering about or considering. And then I get that kind of like, yep, that's it, you know.
That's great.
So,
I want to thank you for having me on your show. I'm very honored. And it's always good to be with you, Marcy, you know. I love you.
Yeah, we've had good times together.
Yes, we have.
So, okay. So I'll say goodnight to you, and I want to thank all of the listeners that listen. And then you always say, what is it you always say at the end of the tape? And what is blessing is my sincere prayer. How do you say that? Oh, I guess David's hung up. He always just says, and I send you my blessings. The blessings of God is my sincere prayer for you. And so tonight I say that to you. And I also tonight, as we end up the show tonight, I wanted to give you that experience also of having the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, giving you that knowing this unlimited, boundless amount of energy that is within you and is there ready for you to tap into so that you can just know that you have it. You can have the evidence of speaking in tongues, and the way you do it is you yield yourself to God, and you tell God that you want to have that knowing within you that you and God are one, and that all the power of God is in you, and is available to you in all of its energy, and you can have that knowing by speaking this holy sacred language, which also is going to begin to activate that 97% of DNA that you're not using right now, and activate that energy within you to bring forth all of the gifts and talents and give you the power in your life to do what you've always wanted to do. And maybe you want to become a light worker. So just begin. I'm going to play the music. And the way you start to do it is to just start to speak. Because you're going to use your mouth, and you're going to use your lips and your tongue and the tone of your voice to speak this beautiful language. But the Holy Spirit of God within you is going to give you the words to say. And so just begin speaking now. And I'm going to speak with you. And I'm going to play this song that has the speaking in Hawaiian. Got to get this started here. I'm sorry. So just start to speak now. Just let the Spirit of God begin to flow within you. Just feel that flow of that boundless energy. Gira rama shandali si si kura shashambara kariyara vaniyana namokonto. Just begin to speak forth now. Just let that flow out from your innermost being. Idada mashana navada koso toko ronda kosi. Bosha shokoso sondre revedi marakoso sokolo shana naranto. Idibida mana makoso soye veshashem. Mashana Nakoso Toporoso. Idi Manola Balaka Shana Nikisi. sato. Vidi mana mana koso toro toko soso re. Ida la la basbara ki shanamo koso toro. Yaya mana marina makaside vede ai. Oro kogare abasi brado moko. Kudarari. Bariana Mako, Bodhiana Basadiai. Just let that energy flow through you. Unlock that energy. This is the key to opening yourself up to all the realms, the other realms. Move you out of the third dimension into the fifth dimensional energy. This will bring you into your ascension. Aya kasidive shanda kamana nakayo. Branda makasidive kasha shanda rotayas. Rida marana makara bati masai. Bidi balayai boro borarika masidiai. Kilava shanda makasita. Randananiko Bala Bala Makiria. Keep singing. Rada Lavali Kosai, Oda Brahmakai, Ola Bala Mikiri Vidiai, Ulikaria Demasi Tadibi Kashasando, Koda Rada Bala Maninana Kanto. Lidi lava lamano. Tijada makasita variada mako. Brada makasa variada makashishando. Kila variada makoto. Brada variada saveria. Si, brada mako. Ray, ray, rolo. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Bring us into your presence. Let us be one. All of us are one. Idi mini manoloko shandarandoko. So just keep letting this energy flow through you. Let this fifth dimensional energies now just be an evidence in your life from this moment on. And I'm going to say goodnight now, and in aloha, I'm going to say aloha, and in the Hawaiian language that is hello, goodbye now, and I love you.